Well, hey, everyone. We are opening up this week's Inbox, and I have Wade Brown in the studio with me again. Wade, welcome.
Good to be here, Lisa.
Great to have you. You're kind of our pastor in residence. You and H. We've had H on
very much
as
so.
Well. So yeah. Very fun to always get your perspective as a pastor and someone who, you know, definitely has had to, I'm sure, and still does have to deal with theological issues through people that call us here or just stuff that you do out and about in the community and in your own work. So very exciting. So this is kind of an interesting one. This is going to be good. And we don't know if this is from a male or female. So I don't know if that adds any nuance to it, but maybe we'll try to hit the broad spectrum.
Okay.
This person says, over the years, I've come to know God as being without a gender or as both male and female, able to fill in wherever I need him. If I need a mother, he'll be my mother. If I need a father, he'll be my father. I mean, if his idea of gender was original, then how could he have one? I know we're created in his image, but I always thought that was talking about the inside of us, like our soul. We all have some part of us that resembles God. Together as male and female, we create the full image of God. But then why in Scripture does he always present himself as male, always calling himself Father? I know when Jesus was on earth, he came as a man, and he's part of God, like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but I'm talking about Father. Am I way off course?
Wow, that is a very interesting question. Mm-hmm. That is a great question, and I appreciate this listener's I think, grappling with this. This is something we all need to grapple with from time to time when you mm-hmm. think about the essence, the being of who God is. And so I want us to start with Scripture on mm-hmm. this and just use that as a launching pad. And so we'll go all the way back to the book of Genesis. We'll look at chapter 1 and then chapter 5 of Genesis. But let me begin with Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground. And then fast forward to Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2. This is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And he named them man or mankind when they were created. It's interesting that God himself uses the terms man and mankind and not woman or womankind. Mm-hmm. There's certainly a reason for that. And we see that the Bible clearly reveals that both men and women are created imago Dei, Latin for the image of God. And so we're equal in value. We're certainly equal in significance. We're equal in dignity. We're also equal in our sinfulness, our depravity. We're also equally in need of a Savior because of our sinfulness. So, you know, it's interesting that we don't find one gender is more important to God. Both are created in the image of God. And so, really, the divine nature of God includes, I think, and I think our reader alludes to this, Lisa, the divine nature of God includes the perfection of both genders. I believe our listener, again, alluded to that. And at the same time, you know, God is not defined by gender. He's defined by the essence, the being of who he is. We know that Scripture teaches that God is Spirit. I think what complicates this at times for some is that in the ancient Hebrew Scriptures, God's nature is characterized in all the writings by the association with the male gender. Mm-hmm. And so it begs the question, why is this? That was for a reason, obviously. And I think it really boils down to the fact that God wants to be viewed as the patriarch, not the matriarch, the patriarch of all humanity. In fact, in Malachi chapter 2, verse 10, the last book of the Old Testament, we read these words, Do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us, all of us? And so this passage, again, mentions that God is our Father. And along those lines, it's interesting that of the 644 times that we find the word Father in the Old Testament, 14 of those are used to refer to God as Father. You move to the New Testament, and the word Father appears 326 times, and of those, 256 times refer to God as Father. So not once in Scripture, and we need to be clear on this, not once in Scripture is God mentioned as mother. But does that mean that God does not have some motherly characteristics about him? I don't think it means that. I think certainly that's clear in Scripture that he does have those motherly characteristics. For instance, we find in Isaiah 42, verse 14, he's likened to a woman in labor. Isaiah 49, 14 and 15, he's likened to a mother who does not forget the child she nurses. Isaiah 66, 12 and 13, he's likened to a mother who comforts her children. Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4, a mother who births and protects Israel. I like this one. Obviously, all these are God's words, superintended by the Holy Spirit when human authors wrote this thousands of years ago. But I like this one, Job 38, verses 28 through 29. God is speaking to Job at this time. He kind of breaks the silence, and we see both the masculinity and the femininity of God represented in a couple verses here. God says, "Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost of the heavens?" So while God wants us, I think overall, to think of himself as the patriarch of all humanity, again, that's clear in Scripture, isn't it nice to know that when we think about the attributes, the being, the essence of who God is that, and I think the reader alludes to this, when I need the strength of a father, he's there for me. But when I also need the tenderness and nurture and care, and really the agape love of a mother, he's there for me to do that as well. Mm-hmm. So really, both genders are represented, I think, in the image of God, even though God is genderless. He certainly transcends the idea of genitalia, mm-hmm. in other words. It's his being that we need to be grateful for, and grateful for the fact that he is the patriarch over all humanity. I know that's a long answer, so somewhere in there is scratching where this person is itching here.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, and I think it is. I think often we get trapped in kind of trying to parse out words based on our own understanding of things, and
certainly.
I know a lot of people get hung up on the mankind, and I love a pastor once said, I remember him referencing in a sermon, and just saying, you know, we are part of mankind. There are male men and there are female men, you know, and it's not about, you know, we're going to call it mankind because men are better and all that kind of thing. And of course, Jesus, you know, in human form was a man. And so there's no, I don't think that's muddied at all. But I think that what you said about, you know, the fact that God self-describes, you know, is very helpful to us in understanding that.
Very much so. And because God self-describes and, you know, humankind has not done that for him. Again, it was under the superintendence of the Holy Spirit that the Scriptures were written and directed. We shouldn't find any measure of insensitivity in that. Mm-hmm. It's God who has done it. And I think what we need to be careful with as well, Lisa, is that to remember that we're created imago Dei. We're created in God's image. We need to be careful that we don't create God in our image.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, thank you so much, Wade.
You're welcome.
Very helpful.
It's always good to be here.
Yeah. That is it for this week's show. As always, we want to hear from you. Write to us, editor@boundless.org, so we can address your questions in the future. Or if you have feedback on this one, please let us know. Write to us at that email address, editor@boundless.org. So that is it for this week's show. We love being part of your family and having you as part of our listening audience. So make sure you're still following us around and about on Facebook and elsewhere, as well as on the blog and keeping up with the articles and this show. So until next week, I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.